Lord, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to know you. Yes, and as we get to know you, Lord, we do love you. And as we love you, Lord, it's our heart's desire to want to please you and serve you. Lord, you've been so gracious to us. And we want to say thank you for your love right now, Lord. And I pray for us all, Lord, as we come and look at your word, Lord, that we may hear your voice speaking into our hearts, Lord, the greatness of your love for us. Lord, how great you are, and greatly to be praised. We ask your blessing now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I hope you don't mind, I've not been condescending, but I want to give you a Sunday school lesson. Is that all right? To start with, anyway. It's such a familiar story, and I found this sort of slideshow on the internet many years ago now. I've altered it somewhat. It does take a few sort of poetic license steps, you know, it adds a few bits in, which are okay. But the story itself is quite interesting, and we're going to look at it in a little detail later on. Yeah, please, yeah. So it's about Zacchaeus, if you'd like to run that first, yes? Zacchaeus, i.e. Zacchaeus. Just a little explanation before we get into it. Zacchaeus is his Greek name. Zacchaeus was his actual name, it's the Hebrew name. And the interesting thing about Greek is they always, at the end of names, add an S to the men's names, because, if you want to know anything, Greek, the endings of the names change according to what case it is in the sentence. Yeah? So if you wanted to say Jesus, Jesus isn't Jesus, it's Jesu, isn't it? But it's not even J, Jesu, of course. But they add an S at the end, because if you wanted to say of Jesus, you would say Yesu. See? That's helpful, isn't it? No. What I'm saying is Zacchaeus is his Greek name. We'll call him Zacchaeus, though, for short. Zacchai was his actual name. And Zacchai means, what can we say, pure. That's the idea of the word pure. Well, Zacchai wasn't to start with, but the Lord did something with him, as you'll see. So, here's our little Sunday school PowerPoint, we call it. Yes, let's go on it next, please. Right, Zacchaeus started life as a little baby boy. But as other boys grew bigger, he didn't grow very much at all. Perhaps others picked on him because he was smaller. So when he grew up, he was going to get his own back. He became a tax collector. Nobody liked tax collectors. They worked for the Roman authorities ruling their country. They took your money that you owed the Romans, and then some more for themselves. So Zacchaeus became very rich and lived in a very big house. Nobody liked him. But he didn't care. Oh, I'll let you look at him for a while, so you could hate him, you know. But he didn't care. One day he heard that Jesus was coming to his town. They said that Jesus would have a few things to say about the way he treated people. He asked his wife what all the fuss was about, and she told him about the miracles that were happening where Jesus went. "I'll have to see this for myself," Zacchaeus said. But there was just one problem. He couldn't see anything. Everybody was taller than him. So he had a good idea. "Jesus will be going that way," he thought. So he ran off down the road. There he is, running. He climbed a tree. Took a while to climb, see. Then he hid in the branches to watch Jesus as he went by. Jesus stopped underneath the tree. He looked up at Zacchaeus. Can you see Jesus in his eyes? Very good, right? Looked up at Zacchaeus. "Hello, Zacchaeus," said Jesus. "Come down, I want to visit your home." "He wants to visit my home with me?" Yes. He came down as fast as he could. Then he came up to Jesus. He's short, yes. Everybody in the crowd was disgusted with Jesus. "He's going to the house of a sinner, a tax collector." Zacchaeus said to Jesus, right now I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. I'll pay back anybody I've cheated 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, today God's forgiveness and love has come to his house, because this man too is now one of God's people. Because I've come to search for and save those who are lost, just like Zacchaeus. And so they set off for Zacchaeus' home. Jesus met his family. They had a good meal and talked a lot about God's kingdom and how to live God's way and enjoy his blessings. And after that day, Zacchaeus was never the same man again. He was a new man. You've heard that story before, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I've got a song. Anyone went to Sunday school? Might have learnt this one. Yeah. Next, please. Then you have to go manual now, yes. Do you know this one?
Yes.
Some of you don't, do you? No. Well, you'll have to learn it. Now Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree, because the Savior he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked into the tree and said, now Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm coming to your house for tea. You got it?
Yeah.
Right. Now you've learned it, we'll sing it. Right. Story. So what we're going to do is, next picture please, is we'll look at what happened to Zacchaeus in a bit more detail. Right, we've got the mic, the lens on him now, yes. So we'll get the story again, and we'll see what it says in Luke chapter 19, and we'll look at some of the interesting, I think very interesting points. So let's try our next picture please. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now then, Jesus is passing through Jericho. We were thinking about that as he healed blind Bartimaeus, of course. And Jesus is going through Jericho. He's heading to Jerusalem. Why did Jesus go through Jericho? I suspect one of the reasons was he wanted Zacchaeus. Yes. Zacchaeus didn't know that, but the Lord did. And the other thing is that we have Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. Paul described himself as the chief of sinners, but I think Zacchaeus might have argued with him. He could have come in pretty close as well. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was in charge of the other tax collectors, right? And it's a statement of fact. A wealthy tax collector must be a dishonest one, because the Romans paid him enough just to make a living, but they could charge more than anybody else, you know, and make a bit for themselves while they're at it. So Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man, right? Now then, this is a lovely illustration of a very important point that Jesus said earlier on, as we've been looking through Luke's Gospel. Remember the camel and the eye of the needle? But he said it's very hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, sure. It's easier than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Well, we're going to see a rich man enter the kingdom, because what's impossible for man is not impossible for God. So, let's see old Zacchaeus on his way next step. Right. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And this is one of these sycamore fig trees. They're not high-growing trees. They split fairly low down. Anybody good at climbing trees would manage nicely, those, wouldn't they? Yeah? Anybody been a good climber of trees? I used to in my days. I once ran home from school when I was at the infant school, and I can still see the teacher down at the bottom looking at me up my tree saying, come down. There you are. Anyway. Right, so Zacchaeus was short, and so he thought, he had this idea, I want to see what's going on, what it's all about. Curiosity again, perhaps. And so he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree. What's interesting about that to me is, when you're the chief tax collector, you've got a position to hold up, haven't you? You know, you've got to look the part. And here he is running. I mean, not very good running. And then climbing trees to root. I mean, that is really something. Well, it's interesting, you know, if God's at work in your life, you might do some very strange things. And if you love the Lord, you might even do stranger things. I'll give you, it just reminds me of King David. Do you remember King David? When David, the dream of his life was to get the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, his capital. Yes, it had been away for a long, but never been to Jerusalem. He'd been out of the community for a long time in many ways. So he wanted to get the Ark to Jerusalem. The first attempt failed because they didn't do it the right way. But on the second thing, they got everything right according to what Moses had instructed them. And David is going in front of the Ark, and what's he doing? He's dancing for joy. Right, he's not British, you remember that, yeah? He's dancing for joy in front of the Ark, and he says his wife, Michal, watched him from the window. And when he came in, and I hope this isn't true of you gentlemen, you come in all full of the joys, and when you get in, she gives you an ear blasting. You don't do that, ladies, do you?
No.
No, good. Well, that's what happened to David. That's what happened to David. When he got in to the house, he says, "You made a right show of yourself, you did, didn't you? Dancing in front of all those people like that." And David says, "If you think that's bad, I'll be even more despised, but the people will think I'm all right." Yeah. Zacchaeus, I don't think he cared. I don't think he cared. You know, there's more important things than looking good and important. Yeah? So off he goes and climbs his sycamore fig tree. Right. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Isn't that amazing? How did Jesus know his name?
He knows everything.
He knows everything, yes. He knew his name. I think that's remarkable. He calls him Zacchaeus. I mean, that must have made him drop out of the tree almost.
Yes.
But, you know, Zacchaeus. I don't think people told Jesus his name.
It's written on his hand.
Yes. Jesus knows. It's one of these works of the Holy Spirit, you know. The Holy Spirit gives you information that can't be got any other way. And this is one example of that, I believe, yes. So he calls out Zacchaeus' name. What effect would that have had on Zacchaeus? Worrying, I think. Worrying. How did he know I was there? And how does he know it's me? Right? It's enough to make you fall out of the tree, isn't it, really? Yes. It's quite remarkable. So our next little picture, let's have a see what we've got next there. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." So all the people see Jesus fraternizing with this tax collector and they are disgusted by it. And the question I'd like to ask is your idea of God's grace like theirs? What's their problem? What's the people's problem? What are they thinking?
He doesn't deserve
being nice to him. He's a nasty little piece of work, yeah? He doesn't deserve God being nice to him and the Lord blessing him. Right? Is that what you think? That's what we can think. And when we see God being good to somebody who's a particularly nasty piece of work, you know? Well, maybe not jealous, you think it's not fair. It's not fair. Letting him off, letting her off, you know, being nice to them because of all the horrible things they've done, and if they've been especially horrible to you, and then God blesses them, that's really tough, isn't it?
I think you can sometimes be seeking an understanding within it.
Well, yeah, the Lord's at work, yes. They've got to learn. These people have got to learn, yes. It's simply this. Grace is not for the deserving. Right? You get that? Grace is not for the deserving. You don't deserve it. Whether you're a nice little Sunday school girl or boy, or a nasty piece of work like he was, yeah, you don't deserve God's blessings. That's our human problem, you know. We scale ourselves and compare ourselves to other people. Well, I'm better than Zacchaeus. Eh? So, God must be nice to me. No! God can and will be nice to you. Not because you're better than Zacchaeus. It's just because he's good. God's gracious. And so, Zacchaeus comes down and he gets talking to Jesus. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now, there's a big challenge there. You know, and this, it's an important challenge for evangelism for us, you know. There are some parts and people that we might not want to go and meet, that Jesus wants us to speak to and share the good news with. Right? Jesus wasn't afraid to be an associate of sinners. You've got to be careful, you know, but you need to be wise, but sinners need to know about Jesus, don't they?
Yes.
Sure do. Right, next thing, please. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, I love that phrase, it's very significant how Luke has written it, and the Holy Spirit put these words there. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, he wasn't talking to the crowd. The crowd is exceedingly hostile. Yes. But he stood up and said to the Lord, do you know why? Because when God's dealing with you, between you and him, it's all that matters. The rest, not important. So he stood up. I like that, stand up for little people. So a little man stood up. He stood up. Yeah? It's interesting. Zacchaeus stood up. Is that because he wanted to be seen so everybody could hear him? Maybe. But I think also, this guy's feeling good. He's feeling good in one sense because it's Jesus. He's taking him seriously, Jesus. He's concerned about him as a man. Right? And, you know, I put that, the difference knowing Jesus loves you makes. What's that? If you know Jesus loves you, you can stand tall. Whether you're 3'5" or 6'9", yeah? You can stand tall when you know that Jesus loves you. That's amazing, isn't it? Yes. So, let's go on to our next one. Next, please. He says this, Lord, look, Lord, here and now. Notice what he calls him?
Lord.
Lord. An acknowledgement of who Jesus is, yeah? He's come to know Jesus, yeah? That was quick, wasn't it? Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. How about that? Now, he's a very rich man. He's offering to give away half of his possessions. That is exceedingly generous of him, isn't it? Right? And if he's cheated anybody, I don't think there's any if in the question, but you never know. Right? If he's cheated anybody, then he'll pay them back 4 times. That's lots more than what the Old Testament required. If you cheated somebody, yeah, you had to pay back and make restitution and a bit more. But this, I mean, this is over the top generosity. Yeah? This man, something's happened to him. So, let me ask you, how do you know he's changed?
What, that's like?
Yeah. God's opened his pocket. Right? Not just his heart, but his pocket. There was a David Watson, who was a minister in York many years ago. He says, you know, the last thing that God converts in a man is his wallet. Well, there you go. So, he's a changed man in that he's not a getter, he's a giver. See the difference? There's something changed fundamentally on the inside. He's no wanting to me, but wanting to give away, be generous to others. Now, I ask you the question, this is a real crunch question, I put it there, is what made him change? What made him change? The Holy Spirit? Yeah. Yes? Yes? Let's put it this way. I'd like to think this, and I'm pretty sure this is what went on. This man suddenly felt loved by Jesus. He knew that Jesus accepted him, valued him, loved him as a human being, and wanted him. Right? Probably the first time in his life. Yeah? This man was touched by the love of God. And if the love of God won't change him, nothing can. Yeah? He's touched by this tremendous sense of that Jesus loves him. My goodness me. That's enough to turn you upside down and inside out, isn't it? And that's what he's done.
No
that's
one had to
changed.
Tell him, did they?
Sorry?
No one had to tell him.
No one had to tell him. He just met Jesus. Yeah, he just met Jesus. That's all. When we're sharing the good news with other people, it's not to meet you. It's nice to meet you, of course. Nice people. But meet Jesus is what it's about, isn't it? Get them to Jesus. Because, you know, we're imperfect. Yeah? They might look at you and think, well, if that's being a Christian, forget it. Yeah, they might be right as well. Yeah, but that's not what being a Christian is about. A Christian is about knowing Jesus and experiencing his love and his forgiveness. Yeah? So Zacchaeus has got it, and he's a changed man. So next please. Right. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. How about that? Interesting phrases Jesus uses. Salvation. What is salvation?
Saved.
Eh? Saved. Well, that's another word for salvation. What does salvation mean? What do you think? We've been forgiven for our sins. Yes? But that's more, salvation's more than that, you know.
We're on our way to heaven.
We're on our way to heaven, yes? Salvation's more than that. Those are good things. Have your sins forgiven? No, you've got a ticket to heaven. Right?
Saved to serve.
Saved to serve.
Eternal wholeness, is it?
The word's wholeness. Yes, salvation has to do with wholeness. He's been made whole. He's been fixed. That's what's happened. Salvation has come to this man. The man that was all tied up in himself and, you know, really, really a sad spectacle. Right? All of a sudden, the flowers open. Yeah? He's whole. He's healthy in his mind, his heart, his relationships with God. That's what salvation's about. Yeah? It's more than, as wonderful as it is, as having your sins forgiven and knowing that you're not going to face the judgment of God. Yeah? But it's more than that. You know, you can, let me put it this way. If Jesus forgave someone and just let them walk off, that'd be wonderful. But he doesn't. He saves them and brings them into his family. You're in. You're whole. You're part of it now. Yeah. So there's this wonderful thing. Salvation has come to the house. Wonderful.
But right? The helmet of salvation on, isn't it?
Well, that's another one to take on board. This wholeness that changes the way we think and the way we live. And he describes him. He says, salvation's come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. What does Jesus mean when he calls him a son of Abraham?
Yeah.
No. Doesn't mean he's Jewish. He is Jewish, and that's true. Yes? A son of Abraham would be Jewish in that instance, yes? That before the Gentiles started coming in. But, brothers and sisters, I'm a son of Abraham. Yes? And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a son of Abraham, or a daughter, if you're a lady, of course. Yeah? What does he mean when Jesus says he's a son of Abraham? Why does he use that phrase, the son of Abraham? What was it about Abraham? Abraham was a man who believed God. A man who trusted God. A man whose faith was alive. Right? And he's saying is, this guy has come to know me, and he's alive now. He believes in the living God. Right? So it's not just he's Jewish, which he is, but also he knows the Messiah, Jesus. It's good, eh? So, salvation's arrived. Listen, please. So, for this is what Jesus is using this incident as an illustration of, a wonderful illustration. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. There we are. There's a few lost people there to look at. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. I've underlined those things. What does he mean, Son of Man? Right? We've had this before. When Jesus, that was the most common name that Jesus applied to himself. Messiah. Son of Man. It means Messiah. Right? It doesn't just mean he's human, which he is, but it also means he's the Messiah. God's appointed salvation man, as well you could say. Yeah? He's the Son of Man. So, he's come on a mission. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. What about seeking? How does Jesus seek? If you were to give your testimony, we're going to ask one of our ladies to give her testimony in the future, not too long in the future, hopefully, but, yeah? It's about how Jesus came to seek you out. You know, can you, I'm sure you can, look back on your life before you became a Christian, if you have become a Christian, and if you haven't, make sure you are, right? But if you look back on your life before you became a Christian, you can now see, God was doing that, God was working there, God was doing this, manoeuvring, working things for the time when you came to know and love Jesus for yourself. Right? He seeks, yeah. Right? And he can do it in some very amazing ways, yes? Right? He came to seek, and he didn't just come to seek, he came to save. That salvation thing again, right? Come to set them free from being lost. 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 How are we lost?
Didn't know God,
yes. It's not that we're lost to God. God knows where you are. But we're lost to him. Yeah, out of it. Completely unaware. Sadly, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's his mission. Praise the Lord. Next, please. Right, so now we've got a little song to finish with, right? Told you it was a Sunday school lesson, didn't I? Yeah?
I hope it.
Right? Yes? So, little song, and this is sums up the story of Zacchaeus, really. I'm being a little mad. Does anybody know this one?
Did you write it?
No, no, this is another Sunday school one. Good, right, yes. Right, yes. It goes like this. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to speak. It was to say he came. And when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. Got it?
Yes.
Yeah? He did not come to judge the world. I know one of the additions in that the little Sunday school slideshow that I showed you was one where it says the people said to Zacchaeus that Jesus is coming and he'll have a few things to say to you about the way you treat people. Yeah, they wrote that in, of course. That's not in the original, of course. Yeah, interesting. Jesus didn't say one word about the way he treated people. Isn't that interesting? What changed him was the love of Jesus. Right? And that's how people are changed. You don't change them by making them change. You change them by introducing them to Jesus. And Jesus can begin the change on the inside. That's where it really counts. And where it will work, of course. So, when we call him Saviour, you know, that goes back to Christmas is coming. You know that, don't you? Right? What did the angel say? I think it was to Joseph. Call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. He's the Saviour. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing love. Lord, that you went all that way, out of that way, in a sense, Lord, to get a man that nobody wanted, but you did. Thank you, Lord. Zacchaeus is a man who came to know and love Jesus, came to know and love the loving God. And Lord, he's in heaven now. Lord, we're going to meet him. Lord, and he'll have a story or two to tell us, I'm sure. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love to Zacchaeus. And Lord, for the nobodies and the despised and the outcasts and people that nobody else thinks are worth it. Lord Jesus, thank you. You gave your life, your precious blood, to save us. As in a few moments, we'll be coming to remember your death for us. Thank you, Lord. Mercy isn't earned, Lord. Forgiveness isn't something that we just buy, Lord, or somehow work our way towards. Lord, grace is a gift. And we bless you, Lord. You are a rich giver, an abundant giver. And we say thank you, Lord. We come to you and thank you for your love. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.